Blog Talk Radio.
Who here among us has not been broken? Who here among us is without guilt or pain? So oft abandoned by our transgressions, if such a thing as grace exists, then grace was made for lives like this.
Your banner over us is love. Let the enemy read it. Let the enemy see it. Your banner over us is love. Oh, we're here to feast. Let him watch us eat. Your banner over us is love. And while your people feast, let the enemy watch us eat. Your banner over us.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me on tonight. The first song I played was Orphans of God by Avalon. The second song was Reckless Love by Stephanie Gretzinger. Thank you, everybody, for being here on tonight. I am Prophet Stacy, and this is Prolific Fire. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray over everybody listening. God, I pray that you bless them, especially tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus, touch your people, feed your people the way that you want them to be fed on tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm going to jump right into the message. Tonight, the foundational text is Luke 15, verses 1 through 7, and I will be reading from the Message Bible. In the Message Bible, it says, the story of the lost sheep. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased at all. They grumbled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. When you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it. When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing. And when you got home, called in all your friends and neighbors, saying, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in need of no rescue. Now suppose you were in desperate need of guidance, but instead of running to the one that could help you, the one that could guide you, the one that could get your life back on track, you up and ran away from him because of what people had to say. So what if you don't look like you belong in the fold? So what if you haven't done everything right in your life and you're not fit to meet anyone's standards, not even your own, because somebody you really feel like you failed yourself. And the last thing you need right now is some self-righteous hypocrite calling you out. You got self-righteous hypocrites calling you out because they can see Jesus all over you. And they don't understand why he has chosen to come in and sup with you. They don't understand why Jesus goes for you and not them. And so they criticize your journey. They don't understand that you are just a sheep that needs to eat the same as them. Now, research says that the natural sheep are most likely descended from the wild Mufon of Europe and Asia. One of the earliest animals to be domesticated for agricultural purposes. Sheep are raised for fleece, meat, and milk. Beloved, what they don't understand, what you don't even understand, is that there is a reason why Jesus referred to you as a sheep in the story, a reason why he referred to you as a sheep in the parable of tonight's foundational text. So what if you're a little while? You still have a purpose. There's still something Jesus wants to raise you up for. And so he made the choice to leave the 99, all those whose lives were not in need of rescue, and come after you. Jesus made the choice to come after you because the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11 and 30 from the New American Standard Bible. Something the Pharisees, something the religious scholars, those religious hypocrites should have been doing. They should have been trying to win souls. Instead, they chose to come for you. They chose to openly attack your already fragile mindset. They chose to beat down your character, to trample on your self-esteem. They were the ones that made you feel like you don't belong in the church. They were the ones that made you feel like you don't belong in their family, marriage, or whoever you're married to. They were the ones that made you feel like you don't belong on that job, working next to them, classroom, studying to better yourself, the same as them. They were the ones on the playground that used to make fun of the way you look, the way they used to make fun of the way you dress. Because for some of you, this feeling like an outsider, like you don't belong anywhere, this feeling of loneliness started way back, all the way back to the early years of your life. And I must be honest with you tonight. I can relate. I know exactly how this type of pain feels. I know the pain. I know how the pain of being outside the fold, outside the church, outside the clique. I know how it can make you feel. I know how it can force you to feel. Outsiders, tonight's message. But all Jesus wants to do is find you, his lost sheep, and bring you home. He wants to pick you up, put you across his shoulders, as it says in tonight's foundational text, and bring you home. You see, currently, beloved, the only warrant out for your arrest is a warrant issued by heaven. The warrant says you are guilty of more counts of sin. You have done a lot wrong. But the warrant also says you have been forgiven. Come home. Somebody, you have been forgiven. Come home. No matter how you look to others, you are not a danger to anyone else. You are more a danger to yourself if you continue going down the path of your own. Come home. Jesus wants you to come home to him. The church is good, and church fellowship is good. But right now, he's more concerned with you being in him. But right now, he's more concerned with you being in him, in a committed relationship with him. He's not concerned as much right now with you being a part of that church or that certain group that believes a certain way. But where is your relationship with him? So he's coming after you, leaving the 99 in search of little old you. How about that? He's leaving the 99 in search of little old you. Somebody, the lover of your soul is chasing you. Somebody tonight, the lover of your soul is chasing you. He simply refuses to give up on you and be satisfied with the 99. He simply refuses to give up on you and be satisfied with the 99. No, a good shepherd wants all of his or her sheep. That being said, Jesus refers to himself as a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10:11 NIV. Continuing on, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. John 10:16 NIV. You see, beloved, you are not an outsider, not in the way you've been made to feel. What you are is different. What you are is one of the other sheep Jesus spoke of. What you are is one of the other sheep that Jesus spoke of. And he must bring you in. So he chases you, pursues you. Because you, with your doubtful reputation, you have every right to be one of those hanging around Jesus, listening intently, making folks upset at your fellowship with the Savior. You have every right to make their mouths talk and grumble like the Pharisees and religious scholars talked and grumbled in tonight's text. They talked and grumbled, saying, he takes in sinners and eats meals with them like old friends. Do you know how hypocritical it is? Do you know how hypocritical it is for any of us to get offended when we see Jesus befriending a sinner? Do you know how hypocritical it is for any of us to get upset and grumble like the Pharisees when we see Tasha Cobbs Leonard befriend somebody like Nicki Minaj on social media? Hey, need I remind you the Bible says Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. He didn't die for perfect people. He died for sinners. As crazy as that may be, he died for sinners. He didn't die for that perfect one. He died for sinners. Romans 5 and 8 from the New Century Version. From the Message Bible, it says, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use. While we were of no use. No use at all. While we were of no use whatever to him. Therefore, it seems to me that one sinner can't talk about another sinner. Well, we all at some point have been of no use to him. When we all at some point have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23, King James Version. That person that saw you do whatever you did, they can't talk about you not when they were there doing the same thing. They cannot talk about you when they were there doing the same thing. That would be like David bad-mouthing Bathsheba. Can you just picture it? David bad-mouthing Bathsheba. That would be like David bad-mouthing Bathsheba for sleeping with him. Or Bathsheba having the nerve to file sexual harassment charges against David, even though they slept together. They were in it together. The sooner we realize that Christ saved us so that we could go and save someone else, the sooner we realize we're in this thing together, the better off we will be. The sooner we realize that we're in this thing together, we can't be pointing fingers at each other, the better off we will be. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind. I want to be the kind of friend Jesus can call on, the kind of friend Jesus can count on to celebrate when another life has been rescued and brought into the body of Christ. I want to be the type of Christian that rejoices with all of heaven upon hearing someone's life just got delivered and brought in. I want to be the type of Christian that rejoices to see well-known celebrities slowly transforming and walking in the ways of Christ. Because believe it or not, they're coming in. And remember, you heard it first here on Prolific Fire. Believe it or not, well-known celebrities are coming in. They're coming into the body of Christ. Slowly but surely, they're coming in. They're transforming their lives. And they will begin to walk in the ways of Christ. So be prepared to adjust your attitude. So be prepared to adjust your attitude. It's not, when did he get saved? When did she get saved? That's not the kind of attitude Jesus wants us to have. Always judging somebody else's salvation. Need I remind you again of what the Bible says in Mark 2. Verse 16 from the NIV, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? The New Living Translation says, why does he eat with such scum? Mark 2 and 17 from the NIV, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Therefore, every self-righteous person under the sound of my voice, yeah, I'm talking to you. If the shoe fits, I'm talking to you. Therefore, every self-righteous person under the sound of my voice who has been following in the ways of the Pharisees, the message to you tonight is be prepared to adjust your attitude. Be prepared to adjust your attitude. Who are you to forbid the sick? Who are you to judge another sick person? You can't talk down a person's healing. You can't talk down a person's healing. A person's chance for wholeness. A person's chance for deliverance. Again, let me say it again. You can't talk down a person's healing, a person's chance for wholeness, a person's chance for deliverance. Jesus is still going to help them. Jesus is still going to help them, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not. So the best thing to do for any of us to do is just rejoice and be thankful that they made it in. Rejoice because that one out of the 99 has been found, and he or she made it in. He or she is not an outsider. They're just different, a different type of sheep, but they made it in. Jesus found them where they were, just as they were, and brought them in. Welcome to the body of Christ, those of you who were just brought in or being brought in. You're going to love being a part of him. But I must be honest, you won't like every so-called Christian you meet, though. But that's to be expected. Hypocrites exist everywhere. And I do mean everywhere. Now, I don't know where you're being brought in from. You might have been brought in from an environment where you doubt the sincerity of everyone around you with good reason. You doubt those that are supposed to be your friends. You doubt the industry you're in and those in it with you. Somebody, you doubt the relationship you're in. Somebody else, you doubt the marriage. But the one thing you have, hear me, but the one thing you have that you don't have to doubt, but the one thing you have that you don't have to doubt is the love of Jesus. In John 15, verse 9 from the Amplified, Jesus said, "I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you." I like that scripture. Jesus said, "I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you." Do not doubt his love for you, somebody. Do not doubt his love for you. Not people's love, but his love for you. Somebody, you're used to buying a plane ticket, a bus ticket that would take you to a specific place, but then return you back to the same place. You're used to buying a plane ticket, a bus ticket that would take you to a specific place, but then return you back to the same place. But, love, I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is the ticket purchased for you by way of his blood. A ticket that you don't have to pay for. The price has already been paid for. But unlike a few further in Christ than you've ever gone in your life, and unlike a plane ticket or a bus ticket, this ticket would never return you back to the same place you used to be in, return you back to the person you used to be, unless, of course, that's what you want. Unless, of course, that's what you want, because God would never override his will. Because God will never override your will for his. Rather than to be selfish, God would rather you be selfless and submit your will to him. But anyway, moving on. Let's go a little deeper. You know, until a few days ago, I never noticed how Luke 15 opens with a parable of Jesus being the shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes after that one lost sheep. And then that same chapter, Luke 15, then concludes with a prodigal son's father, a picture of God himself waiting for his son to return home. So let's look again at Luke 15, but this time let's look at verses 11 through 24. And again, I'm reading from the Message Bible. In the Message Bible, it says the story of the lost son, but in other translations, we know that this is a story of the prodigal son. Then he said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bag and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slaughter the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop. but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, all these farm hands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounded. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. But the father, in this portion of scripture, we see that when the prodigal son came to his senses, he went back to his father's house. Verses 20 through 21. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounded. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. Then the son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. Verse 22, but the father wasn't listening. Somebody hear me and hear me good. Whether you're the one that was lost out of the 99 and Jesus had to come after you, or you're the prodigal son or daughter that the father is anxiously waiting to return back home. Either way, the father is not listening to your excuses. The father is not listening to your excuses. There is no sin that you have committed. There is no sin that you have committed that is so great that you no longer deserve to be called his son or daughter. There is no sin too great that you have committed that you deserve to no longer be called his son or daughter. God says to some of you, you can come back to the house. You can come back to the house. You were raised in this house. You were raised a Christian. You were raised to know me. It doesn't matter what you did when you were absent from me out in the world. Somebody noticed in this portion of scripture, notice that the prodigal son's father didn't get him home and start questioning him about what he had been doing out there, because it didn't matter. God says it doesn't matter. You are still my son. You are still my daughter, and I will celebrate you as such. You are not an outsider. You belong to me. I am responsible for you as a parent, not them. Ignore them. Still to others of you, God says, I sent Jesus into the world to die for you. So he had every right to come after you when he saw that you were drifting away, being ran off by the hypocritical judges of the earth. He had every right to come after you when he saw you drifting away, being ran off by the hypocritical judges of the earth. Jesus knows his sheep. He has made no mistake calling your name. Somebody, you think it's a mistake that God is calling you, that Jesus is calling you to himself, but it's not. He has made no mistake calling your name. You are a part of his sheep pen. Different, but no outsider. You are different. I'm different. You're different, but no outsider. You may not be churchy. Hear me. You may not be churchy, but you are still in him, and he will never give up chasing you. Until you see, until your eyes are fully open, and heaven can rejoice with him, and all real Christians, calling the real Christians, all real Christians can celebrate, can rejoice with him over your rescued life. Father God, thank you for bringing that one in that's been lonely and different all their lives. Thank you for including them in. Heal the memory of every word told to them by some Pharisee spirit that made them feel like they don't belong. Heal the memory of every wrong action done to them by some religious hypocrite that forced them to believe that they don't belong. Seal the pain of it all. Feel the pain of it all. And Father God, thank you that Jesus in this season is not just gathering all his sheep to himself, but you as a father are calling the prodigal sons and daughters back into the house to be celebrated and not just tolerated. Back into the house to be celebrated and not just tolerated. Heaven is rejoicing because lives are being rescued. May we learn to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. That concludes the message on tonight. Thank you for being attentive. Thank you for being supportive. I pray you got something that you needed out of the word tonight. At this time, if there's anybody on the phone lines desiring prayer, I would be glad to pray with you. If you're on the phone lines via Blog Talk Radio, just press 1 on your phone, and I would be glad to pray with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for taking the time, for never forgetting to tune in to Prolific Fire. I appreciate it. Okay, I see there are no live prayer requests on tonight, but if you need me for prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690, or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. Also, you can send a prayer request through the website by going to prolificfireministry.com. Some people prefer to send in a prayer request that way. Either way, it'll come directly to me, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, it's prolificfireministry.com if you prefer to send in your prayer request that way. Find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy, and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Everybody, and I do mean everybody under the sound of my voice, be sure to join my sister, Prophetess Pate, for prayer and encouragement on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate every Friday night, this Friday and every Friday night, starting at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, Friday night, by calling the number that many of you call tonight. You can call 347-426-3782, 347-426-3782. The only difference is, instead of calling on Monday, call on Friday, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Call at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. The phone lines will be open that particular night as well to take your prayer request if you desire to receive prayer. Or you can just call in and listen. The woman of God be going in on prayer. So call in. You won't regret it. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, when the message will be an attack on the mind. An attack on the mind. Until then, everybody, have a blessed night. See you Friday. And then back here on Monday. Good night.